Worship here at Second Baptist Church. We're so glad you chose to worship with us today here on this beautiful Lord's Day. I do want to extend a very special welcome to anyone who might be our guest today. I know we have several here because we have an exciting thing that's happening in the life of our church. It's always exciting when we have baptisms. We have four today that will happen just a little bit later in the service. So families, thank you for coming and being a part. And I know there's some friends here as well that are here to support. If you would, if you don't mind, there in the pew back in front of you is a slip of paper. That's one way that we can have a little bit more information about you and about how we might be able to better serve you. Or you can go online at sbcr.org, and there is a button that says, I'm new. And then there's a short form there for you to fill out. We just want to have a little bit of information about our guests and, again, how we can better serve you. I do want to mention a few things that are happening in the life of our church. First of all, though, I want to say a huge thank you to those who came and helped with the trunk or treat. I know we had to punt a little bit because we were going to do it last Sunday night and had to move because of the weather. And so many of you were able to adjust there and come and help out. I believe we saw probably nearly 500 people come through that night, and we loved on them, got info about those families. So it was a great outreach to our community. So thank you for coming to help. Thank you for bringing candy. We probably had 25,000 pieces of candy to hand out. Y'all, our church family always comes together in those big events, and we do a great job. So I just want to say thank you for doing that. Also, I want to say thank you for the prayers for our London mission team, for myself, for Michelle, for Miss Linda, as we were gone nearly a week. We definitely felt those prayers. I can't tell you. I don't have time to tell you, I guess. I can tell you, but I don't have time this morning to tell you about all that God did. Just know that everything that we wanted to do and we were hoping to do it with this mission opportunity, God showed out and he showed up. And we were able to love on those families and send them away re-energized, refreshed, and ready to do what God has called them to do in their various areas of ministry and the places they serve. So thank you for your prayers. It was an incredible week. I do want to mention that we have our regular scheduled Wednesday night activities, so just be aware of that. If you have an opportunity on Wednesday nights, 5:30 meal, 6 o'clock the children's activities begin, as well as youth activities, as well as our prayer meeting time. So come and be a part of that. And then we have 7:15 meal for our college students and an 8 o'clock collegiate worship service that usually lasts around an hour. So we're usually finished around 9. A couple weeks from tonight, we have our quarterly family meeting, business meeting, so be aware of that. The information will be available to you next Sunday on what's going to be happening, the financials and so forth, so be aware of that. And then also, following the business meeting, we will do the packing of our Thanksgiving food boxes. By the way, I need to say another thank you. The whiteboard, the dry erase board that we have all the sticky notes on, the majority of those have been taken already. That's incredible. I don't believe I've ever seen so many taken in a short period of time. So thank you for doing that. If you haven't had an opportunity, that board is out front in the foyer area as you leave today. You can grab a sticky note. Please have those items back by Sunday, November the 19th, so that we can have an opportunity to pack those boxes. We'll be delivering those boxes on Monday, November the 20th. You see there in the bulletin, we'll start doing that around 9 o'clock. If you're interested in helping with that effort as well, just let me know, let Pastor Chris know, or call the office. We'd love to get you involved with that opportunity. Our goal is 25 food boxes. I've already had several families from Crawford Elementary to reach out to me about those food boxes. So we're going to be able to be a blessing to those families as we have been in the past. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being involved with that. You also see a little note on our food pantry needs. This time of year, we tend to have a few more families show up. So be aware of those needs. There's always a place to serve, a place to get involved here at Second Baptist Church. I just want to encourage you to do that. All right, that was a lot, wasn't it? I'm already tired, but I'm not so tired I can't sing, right? And that's what we're about to do. We're about to lift our voices in praise and worship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's part of why we're here. Amen? Because we want to give God the praise for all that he's done. I want to encourage you to bow your heads and close your eyes right now as we have entered this time of focusing on Thanksgiving. All right? It's going to be here before we know it. But maybe this morning, God is just, he's overwhelmed you by his goodness. And maybe right now what you do is, God, thank you, because you are so good. And name specific things, the way he's blessed you. I've already mentioned several things this morning that I'm thankful for, because he is a good God. And he knows our needs better than we do. And he has the ability to meet those needs this morning. Just give him the praise that is due to him this morning. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for your grace and your mercy. We're thankful for an opportunity to be here in your house today, to join together and to give you praise, to honor you for all that you do, for all that you are. For you are a good God. You are a God who truly knows our needs and knows how to best to meet those needs. And this morning, I pray for each and every one of us that are here today, maybe watching online. God, I pray that our hearts would be encouraged. I pray also that we would be challenged by your word. God, that we would leave here today refreshed and renewed. And God, even have a better grasp of what our purpose is as we live and move and have our being in you. Father, how we love you. And we just want to give you the praise for all things. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you stand with us as we sing Firm Foundation?
My firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, with everything around me shaken.
So I would even Well, good morning. So glad that you are here, excited about today and looking forward to celebrating today, and excited about these young men and for all of you friends and family, see some teammates, coaches, just thank you so much for coming to support them. Hey, last night was a pretty cool moment. Man, his football team played well. Coach Shipp and the staff did a great job, got a win. And one of the young men, Nikalen, got some great playing time last night and played well. And, man, really cool moment that I've only kind of seen videos of before or whatever, but after the game and all the different things going on, and Coach Shipp called all the team together and was celebrating Nikalen. He had gotten an interception and really played well. But then announced right there in front of everybody that Nikalen had earned some scholarship money. And man, it was really cool to see his teammates react to that, celebrate that, hoisted him up on his shoulder, on their shoulders, and man, just celebrating with him. And just a really cool moment, a lot of fun. But just see the joy and elation on success of somebody else, and just a big moment, a neat thing. And as I was getting ready to come this morning, and we have baptisms this morning, and I know we're not at Thone Stadium, we're not on a field or in a stadium or anything like that, but I think that's all we ought to celebrate similarly when there's some incredible milestones in an individual's life, like trusting to follow the Lord Jesus and following the Lord in baptism and all those sorts of things. So I hope, I'm not going to try to lift him up on my shoulders this morning, but I want to celebrate what God is doing. Just a few weeks ago, had opportunity to share the gospel and talk about what it means to be saved. Just the unfiltered, this is the gospel and what it means to surrender your heart and life to Jesus and follow him and trust him to be the Lord and the Lord and Savior of your life, and that baptism does not save you. Salvation is when we surrender our heart and life to Jesus and we repent and place our faith and trust in him. At that moment, an individual is saved when they make that choice to follow the Lord Jesus. Then the next step is believer's baptism, and that's why we're here today. A few weeks ago, all four of these guys had messaged me saying that they had trusted the Lord for salvation. They repented, placed their faith and trust in him. And we had a follow-up meeting after that and just sit down and talk about, okay, what is this decision you made, and make sure we're clear on everything, and then going, hey, the next step is baptism. And all these guys said, man, we want to do that. And so we started looking for a date to set that, and so excited about today. Hey, if you're here specifically to support one of these guys, would you just wave your hand at me and know that you're their support system? And yeah, awesome, man. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to it. So we're going to bring these guys in one by one and get to celebrate with them in their baptism. So I think they're arguing about who's first right now. But anyway, I see Deuce first, so I'm going to call on Deuce. He couldn't get all the way around the corner, so... told them I forgot to turn the heater off, so it's good and warm for them. So they may need that cold therapy after this. Well, this is Deuce Wise, and he's one of the young men that profess faith in Christ, and we talked about that. Deuce, it's my understanding that you've asked Jesus to be the Lord, Master, and Savior of your life. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's upon that profession of faith, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him for baptism in death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Next, they're all come on, Nikalen. Come on, And Kaylin, it's my understanding you've asked Jesus to save you and be the Lord and boss and master of your life. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, it's upon that profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with him through baptism. And raised to walk in newness of life. All right, Tony, you next. Tony, it's my understanding you've asked Jesus to save you and be the Lord and boss and master of your life. Is that right? But it's upon that profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Prepare your attention to baptism in the death and raise the walk in newness of life. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all figuring out how I'm going to do this, but we're going to get it done, all right? Gregor, it's my understanding that's Jesus to be the Savior, boss, master of your life. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's upon that profession of faith, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him through baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Well, amen. Well, the water will still be warm by the time we're done, all right? So if the Lord's leading you and you need to follow the Lord in baptism, man, let's do it today. And, man, just so grateful for what God's doing in and around our church, in our community, on our campus. So many incredible things. So looking forward to seeing what God does in the days ahead. So let's continue to sing and worship him.
All right. If you'll have a stand up with us, we're going to sing Mighty to Save. Choir, are you dry back there? I think y'all got sprayed, didn't you? Amen. He is mighty to save this morning, isn't he?
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior. Shine your light in.
He is mighty to save, and for that reason, he is to be magnified. Amen. Above anybody, any other being, anything else in this world, our Christ is to be magnified. This is a newer song. We haven't done it here at Second Baptist. This will be the first time this morning. You may know it. If you know it, join in with us. It's an easy song to grab a hold of, so listen and then join in when you can.
Your creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry from north to south and east to west. We hear Christ be
bye. Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, will you turn to the Gospel of John? The Gospel of John. And we are going to be in John chapter 1 this morning, and we're going to begin in verse 35 in just a few minutes. I want to preach to you a message I've titled Following Jesus. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Maybe you had younger siblings or kids or whatever the case is, but sometimes as younger children, man, they grow up, they get out of the house a little bit, they're going to school, they're making friends and all that sort of thing, and next thing you know, they make friends with somebody, and then their demeanor, their language, their, you know, just not necessarily in a bad way per se, just some things start to change a little bit. And you start trying to figure out what's going on, man, they're suddenly liking different things, they're talking about a little bit different things, and it's just kind of the influence of being around somebody else. They're picking up some of those habits, they're picking up some of those interests. It's just sort of kind of what we do. I mean, you even see it in adults. You know, obviously we tend to be a little more stubborn, a little more set in our ways, but you hang around with somebody new and maybe some things you like or whatever the case is, man, it starts to shift just a little bit because that's the influence of relationships. And sometimes that can be a very positive thing and sometimes it can not be so positive. And this morning I want to talk to you about following Jesus and the impact he ought to have on our life, but really we're going to look at it from the perspective of not just our life, how it ought to impact us, but how it ought to impact others. Now, you've heard it said that if the pastor, before he gets to the message and preaches, if he says, I love you, look out, right? It's going to be a tough morning. It's going to be a hard message. So, hey, listen at me. I love you in Jesus' name, all right? It's going to be tough preaching this morning. But, man, God has been burdening and dealing with my heart, preparing for this. And so, John chapter 1, I know some of you're visiting and going, man, we just sat down. Yes, I'm going to ask you, if you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? John chapter 1, beginning in verse 35, and the Word of God says, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed him. Was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for today. God, thank you for the opportunity to celebrate what you're doing in the lives of others and seeing and thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, I pray you bless the preaching of your word. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your spirit, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I'm grateful that you've come out today to worship with us and on Time Change Sunday. I've seen this meme shared often that all today meant is that I get an hour longer to preach. So blessed be the name of the Lord today. Now it was interesting. I did not see anybody share that except for all my preacher buddies. Nobody else shared that. No members of the other guys, like just all the preachers shared that. So this morning, preaching on following Jesus. And if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea is this: your following Jesus should lead to others following Jesus. That your walk with the Lord, your encounter with Jesus, this gospel encounter where at least according to our own profession that Jesus has changed our life, it ought to lead to others that have a changed life. And we're going to look at that this morning and look and see what the Bible has to say to us this morning. So the question then this morning that you need to answer, who right now is following Jesus because of your life and testimony? Hey, listen, Second Family, I just have some hard questions to ask you. Who is sitting in our church even this morning or on a regular basis that is here because of your life and testimony? Who have you impacted? Who have you made an impact toward that now they are walking with Jesus because of the way that you live, the way that you have chosen to live your life or invited people or talked to people? And sometimes what happens is when we've been around church a long time, we may be able to look around at a few that we've invited along the way or we've made some sort of impact. But I want to ask you this way, who in the last year, 2 years, is here that is a part of our church family, or maybe they're not a part of our church family, but they're plugged in somewhere faithfully following the Lord Jesus? Who is it in your life that you know that you've directly impacted? Now listen, I fully understand there's not a single person in this room, including me, that can save anybody. Man, these guys that were in the baptistry, man, I didn't save them. That's the work of Jesus, not me. But who is it that we can live in such a way that their life and their eternity is changed forever by the way that we've lived? And here's what I would challenge you. If you claim to be a Christian, a believer, and you can't find anybody in the last year or 2 years that you've impacted, that they're walking with Jesus, we need to examine our salvation. And I realize that's a strong word this morning. But friend, as I read the New Testament and I read about these disciples and I read about the establishment of the early church, I don't see anything as a part of somebody claiming to be a believer that's not influencing somebody else coming to Jesus. Matter of fact, if you read the book of Revelation and some of the letters that were written to some of those churches, there were strong, strong letters to those that had quit doing that. That had quit having works where they were impacting those coming to faith in Christ. And so let's look together. There are three truths from the text this morning that I want us to see that relate to this, our impact of others in our walk with the Lord. Look at verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with the two of his disciples. Now let me hit pause. I realize we've got some visitors this morning. We've been walking through the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, the theme of the whole book is that Jesus is the Son of God, i.e. He is God. Okay, that's what John is writing about. That's what John is trying to convince us of, that Jesus isn't just the Son of God, but He is God. And so last week, we're walking through verse by verse as we go through this, but John knew clearly who he was. John knew he was not Jesus. John knew he wasn't going to save anybody. But John the Baptist was convinced he was going to live his life in such a way he was going to influence others to follow Jesus. And as we're reading through this, verse 35 says the next day, that means the previous day, which is what we looked at last week, he stood in front of all the religious leaders and the folks around saying, there comes Jesus, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hey, let me just remind you this morning, church, there's only but one God who can take your sin away. And he says sin, meaning in totality, past, present, and future. Man, you surrender your heart and life to Jesus and he'll forgive you of all your past, present, and future sin. Amen? Y'all will help me. I'll preach better, I promise, all right? Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. He delivers the same message. It's the same language that he used just the day before. But he's got his disciples around him. In verse 37, then the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Number one, following Jesus is a result of someone else's witness. Following Jesus is a result of someone else's witness. Did you see what happened? There's John. John's the one going to prepare the way. John is the one that's getting things ready for the coming of Jesus, the earthly ministry of Jesus. And John has gained a following. He's got guys that he's investing in. He's baptizing him. And he's got a crowd that is following him. And you know what? It would have been easy. He would have had enough followers on Instagram to think that he was some big deal and could make some sort of influence. But John had not forgot what he was there for. And matter of fact, he testifies that whenever he baptized Jesus, the Spirit of God came upon him. And the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And John said, "At that moment, I realized that was the Son of God. This is the Messiah." And he was doing everything he could to point people to Jesus, including his own disciples, the guys that had been with him, the guys that John had invested in. Hey, can I just remind you this morning, for every one of you that are sitting here, and you say, "Pastor Chris, I know that I've surrendered my heart and life to Jesus. I'm following him." I would just want you to reflect for just a moment. Who are those individuals that were in your life or are in your life that you're walking with Jesus because of them? Yes, I fully understand your walk with Jesus is because of what he's done on the cross. I'm not belittling that. But for every one of us in here, somebody, if you've been saved, somebody shared the gospel with you. Somebody invited you to church. Somebody was praying for you. Man, some of you had grandmas and grandpas that were on their knees on a regular basis crying out to God. Some of you had aunts and uncles and neighbors and co-workers that were praying for you and inviting you. Some of you had a neighbor that loaded you up and drug you to VBS. Man, I want you to reflect about your relationship with God. And why are you walking with him? Yes, outside of what the Lord has done. Who influenced you? Some of you just had godly mamas and daddies that raised you in a Christian home. And you were saved at an early age. And man, thank God, you don't know much different. Hallelujah. Some of you had some radical moments of conversion. Maybe you had a teammate or a coworker or a coach. Somebody influenced you to walk with the Lord. Here's John. He's had these guys walking with him day in and day out with him. And he gets a moment where he sees Jesus and he declares, "Hey, fellas, look, that's Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away sin of the world." What's he doing? He is influencing his own disciples to go and walk with the Lord. We need to learn from this. We need to hear this. We need to be grateful. You just need to pause, and even in the silence of your own heart right now, if you've got a relationship with the Lord right now, even pause and, man, thank God. Thank God that he allowed those individuals to be in your life that you may have a relationship with him. We see a similar influence of others in the Samaritan woman from John 4. And we get the testimony of this when Jesus interacts with the Samaritan woman, and Jesus does a work in her heart, and then she runs back to tell others. Listen to what the Word of God says. And it says, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Look at this. Because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." We're going to come back to some of that in a minute. But man, the Samaritans, some of them had an experience with Jesus because of the witness of somebody else. That she went, this woman that was an outcast of society, and went and boldly told others what she had experienced. Jesus prays for us that are believers in John 17, and this is what he prays in verse 20. He says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Did you catch that? Their word. The word of those that are following the Lord. He says, I'm praying for those that will believe. He prayed for you. He prayed for you whenever he's saying that you'll believe according to their word. Somebody loved you enough to share the gospel with you. And that's why you have a walk with the Lord. That's why you have a relationship with the Lord. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to jot this down or whatever it is. Man, you get done today and this afternoon at some point, and one of those individuals came to mind. And man, some of you have been walking with the Lord a long time. You may not be able to do this, but if you can, would you do just send them a text, give them a call, write them a card, do something, and just say, hey, thank you for your influence in my life that I have a relationship with the Lord. Man, you know what I'm doing with every... I realize that for most of us, there's a lot of people on that list, most likely. I just want to challenge you as a way to apply the text this morning is send a word of thank you and encouragement to whoever made an impact on you coming to the Lord. So number one, following Jesus is a result of somebody else's witness. You're following the Lord because somebody else was faithful to share the gospel and invite you to Him at some point. Number two, following Jesus is the reason for change in your life. Following Jesus is the reason for change in your life. Let's look at verse 38. So the two disciples followed Jesus, is what it says in verse 37. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? What do you want? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated teacher, where are you staying? Verse 39, he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying. And look at this, Mark underlined this, remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. So what happens? These two disciples have been following and walking with John, spending time with him, doing what John did, hanging out with him, learning about the prophecies of the Messiah, learning about what was to come as best John understood, and saying the Messiah is coming. The time is now. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John is teaching and preaching and leading them. And then there comes this defining moment where they have this interaction and John turns and points to Jesus and they leave following John and go and follow Jesus. And they go spend time with him. They go and learn about him. Learn what he's doing. Now, if you read through the Gospels, there's some different things that are happening. I believe what we have here is we have the first encounter in which these two men are introduced to Jesus. They spend some short time with him, and I believe they go back. And here in a minute, we're going to read the account where then Jesus comes and says, hey, leave everything and come and follow me. And so they're being introduced to Jesus, but there's this life change that takes place. We learn more about that from Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. A little bit later on, I believe, is what is happening here. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets, and immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Why do we have this? Why do we have this account where they seem to go in, and man, a little bit of time with Jesus, but then later there's this definitive call? Because here's the reality, man, for you to follow Jesus means you have to abandon everything. If you say, Pastor Chris, man, I've been saved, walking with the Lord, had a relationship. Sometimes people say, man, I've known God all my life, but there's nothing different about your life. And you better examine to see if your salvation is real or salvation is genuine. Because are you going to try to convince me that you had a defining moment in which the Son of God interrupted you and, man, He saved you, the Spirit of God comes and lives within you? You're going to have a moment with that God and nothing about your life is going to be changed? Absolutely not. Man, if you have that sort of moment with the Lord Jesus where He radically saves you, and that's the only kind of saving He does, then there ought to be life change. Now listen, I understand some of you were saved at a young age. You were saved at very young ages, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. I realize I don't know how much of radical change happens in a 6-year-old, all right? But for many of us, we were a bit older. And even yet, now, how is your life different because of your relationship with Jesus? There ought to be a marked, tangible difference. People ought to be around you and go, man, there's just something different about them. They're just something that is just different about them because you have a walk with the Lord. Luke 9:62, Jesus said this. He said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you're going to follow Jesus, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Jesus didn't say, hey, why don't you come hang out and see if you like it or not. Jesus went, hey, man, Andrew, why don't you come on and just hang with me till you find something better. Like, that wasn't it at all. It was leave everything. It says they left their nets, left their body. They left everything to follow Jesus. And that is still the call today. And I realize sometimes that we read this and it may not be physically getting up and leaving your family, but it is a willingness to abandon everything because that's what Jesus deserves. So, if we're going to follow Jesus, it's because of someone else's witness. Somebody was faithful to share with us. Number two, following Jesus is the reason for change in your life. There ought to be a marked, tangible change in your life. And if you can see that change, man, you need to thank God. Because let me remind you of this. The change in your life is not because you just pulled your bootstraps up a little bit better and you tightened your belt a little bit and you got to work. And if God did some things in your life, if there's some tangible change in your life, it's because God did it. Man, I didn't quit drinking alcohol because, man, I just found a better program or whatever. Man, it was because God immediately took it from me. It's not me. If it was me, I would have quit. I promise you, I didn't like waking up feeling like that. But man, I was bound up in it. I was in bondage to it. Let me just say this. The chances are there's some of you sitting here, there may be some of you, you're in bondage to some things in your life, whether it's alcohol, drugs, porn, whatever it is. Let me tell you, friend, I know one who can change your life. Hey, listen, Jesus isn't saying, hey, man, y'all need to hear this morning. Jesus didn't say, hey, get cleaned up, then come to me. Get everything right, then come to me. Man, what we see in the Bible is when you get Jesus in the temple, He runs the money changers out. If you'll surrender your heart and life to Jesus, He'll change you from the inside out. He's not saying, man, getting cleaned up and coming to Jesus is like telling your kids, hey, why don't you go take a bath, then when you get done, take a shower. It doesn't make any sense. Man, that's exactly why He died. He died for the outcast. He died for the dingy and the dirty and the broken and the hurting. Luke 4 says it says He came to heal the brokenhearted, set free the captives. Man, that's why He came. Man, if He didn't come for the good-looking ones and the ones that are all... Man, I know I just offended you, right? But all the ones that just got everything together and don't need any help. Why? Because there are none of those. Every one of us are destitute, lost, without Christ, in need of a Savior until we surrender our heart and life to Him. Man, some of you may say, Pastor Chris, that's what I need today. I need change. You're holding on. You're grasping on to everything, trying to hold it all in balance, and you're just overwhelmed. Dear friend, let me ask you to do this. Let me beg you to do this. Just let go and ask God to do in your life what only He can. Man, He'll meet you right where you're at. And He'll change you. And then He says, number three, Following Jesus requires us to go tell others. He requires us to go and tell others. Notice verse 40. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So Andrew heard John. There's the impact of somebody else's witness. So Andrew goes and followed Jesus. I want you to notice verse 41. He first found his own brother. Mark or underline that. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. You got to understand this. In their day and time, God had been silent for a long time. They knew a Messiah was coming. They didn't know when. They didn't know what it looked like. But there had been this anticipation. And by the way, let me just say this. The fishermen and tax collectors were not the sexy group that most people would have thought that's who would have followed Jesus. That's who Jesus would have used as his disciples. These were the outcasts of the community. These were the ones nobody really wanted much to do with. But he says, man, we found, he says in verse 41, the Bible says, he first found his own brother. Then look at verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. So what happens? Andrew's walking along, spending time with John, minding his own business. But John had been pouring into Andrew saying, there's one coming. There's one coming. The Messiah is coming, the Savior of the world, the Christ, the one we've been waiting for, he's coming. John had been priming the pump, telling his disciples. John knew what his mission was. Jesus shows up and he says, look, fellas, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you know what? His two disciples, one of them being Andrew, leaves. And we don't have any account of John fighting Andrew. Going, hey, you're not really ready yet. Hold on. Just wait. Give it a little time. Let's see what happens. No, we don't have any account of John fighting that happening. But rather, they follow him. And Andrew, whenever he realizes who it is, he realizes the significance of Jesus, and he realizes what Jesus has come to do. What does he do? He said, hang on, time out. I need it. Man, I've got to have a minute. I've got to go find my brother. I've got to go tell my brother. In the Bible, did you see it? He says he brought him to Jesus. Here's what I'm afraid of. I'm going to stand behind the pulpit when I say it, all right? I'm afraid that the accusation, the charge against us whenever we finish our time, for those of us that are believers, that we might stand before a holy God and our salvation will be secure. We've surrendered our heart and life to Jesus. But I fear that we may stand before God, and as we look back over the course of our life, we will have never influenced a single solitary person to know Jesus. That will be a condemning accusation. It'll be now. Those who know Christ, it won't cost you your eternity. But dear friend, let me ask you this. Will we really be able to say that somebody has met the God of creation who formed us and fashioned us? Will we really be able to say that we had this encounter with Jesus where he saved my soul? He took me from death to life. He changed my life. I've never been the same since. Will you, that individual, really be able to live an entire life and not influence one person to come to faith in Christ? I don't believe that's possible. So then what's the deal? One of two things. Either, if that's our testimony, we need to examine to see whether we've genuinely been saved. And I know that's tough preaching. That's hard. But I don't read the Bible and find anybody who's walking faithfully with the Lord that doesn't seem to be influencing others to know more about Jesus. And so, dear friend, I ask you this. Who, right now, is walking with the Lord because you've been faithful to share? You've been faithful to invite? May I submit to you that every talent that you have, God gave it to you, number one, that you may know Him, and number two, you may use it to make others know more about Jesus. Can I challenge you that every dollar God has given you that has passed through your hands, He has done it so that you can know Him and help others to know Him? Can I challenge you that every breath in your lung God has given you, that you may know Him and make Him known? Mark 16:15, He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." 2 Corinthians 5:18-20 says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ," listen to this, "and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." If you've not yet come to know Jesus, surrender your heart and life to Him today. It takes two things, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll pray and surrender everything of what you have, ask Him to forgive you all your past, present, and future sin, turn from those things, turning to Him, saying, "God, I can't, but I need You." Place your faith and trust in Him. God says He'll save you. Some of you say, "Pastor Chris, I've made that decision. I've done that." And I ask you, who right now in the last year is walking with the Lord because of your influence, because of your invitation, because of your praying for them, because of your inviting them? Hey, listen, and we need to pray for folks, but we don't need to just stop there. We need to invite some folks. We need to talk to them about what it means to be saved, what it means to be a Christian. Some of you going, "Pastor Chris, I don't know how to share the gospel." Man, if you know enough of the gospel to be saved, you know enough of the gospel you can share with somebody. And I'm challenging you. I realize a lot of our church members, and we got a lot of visitors here today. Wherever you go to church, man, as you think about sitting around, and in your church, can we not influence somebody? I realize Andrew had some influence over his brother. The Bible says he brought him. You can't make anybody do anything, but man, you can live and share in a way that causes people to go, "Man, I don't know what's going on then, but I've got to find out. I've got to find out about this Jesus because it's doing something in their life." So here's the response today. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, won't you do it today? It may be, man, God's dealing with your heart conviction because, man, you can't find anybody that you've influenced to come to know the Lord, that you've influenced, man, they're a part of church, at least hearing the gospel in some way. We need to ask God to forgive us. Man, some of you, man, there's people on your heart. There's people, and you've got brothers and sisters. You've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. That you need to go and tell them and just share, "Man, this is what God's done and is doing in my life." Some of you, man, maybe God's calling you to ministry. God's doing some things in your life. You need to surrender to Him. But I imagine for most of us, some of us just need to go on this altar and say, "God, forgive me. Because You've done some miraculous things in my life. And I've just been too shy or too lazy or too many excuses not to use what You've done in my life to impact others. Help me to do that." God will hear that and God will use us. And I leave you with this challenge. Whether you're a member here or somewhere else, here's my challenge to you. Before the end of the year is up, share your testimony with somebody who you believe doesn't know, best you know, doesn't believe, doesn't walk with the Lord. And invite them to come to church with you. My challenge to you is that there will be at least one person that might hear the gospel before the year is up. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And I pray right now for those that might not know you, God, I pray that you'd save them. And you remain in attitude of prayer, and you're saying, Pastor Chris, this morning I need to be saved. I need to surrender my heart and life to Jesus. I've seen the testimony of these young men. I've heard the gospel preached this morning. I need change in my life. I'm going to encourage you. You can pray right where you're at. And you don't need words of a prayer from a pastor. You just communicate. Forgive, asking God to forgive you. Asking Him to be the boss and master of your life. Give everything to Him. And the Bible says God will save you. If you want help communicating that, I'll lead you in what we call a sinner's prayer. But understand this, words of a prayer have never saved anybody, but it's attitude of your heart. And so if you would just pray something like this, say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart, wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. I ask you to save me now, Lord Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. With head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that with you this morning. I prayed and I asked Jesus to save me and meant it with all my heart. And I'm not ashamed. I just want you to look right up here at me. Make eye contact with me saying, Pastor Chris, I prayed that this morning and asked God to save me. Amen. God in heaven, I pray that in this time together, God, that we would respond to you. God, just take a few moments and pause and reflect on what you've spoke to us, what you've convicted us of, what you've challenged us with. And Lord, I pray that, God, you would work and move in a way that only you can. I pray this in Jesus' name. You remain the attitude of prayer. This front is open if you want to come and pray. Maybe there's some folks in your life you need to come pray for. There's some things going on you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe God's leading you, saying, I need to take that step of obedience and follow baptism. Maybe you pray and ask God to save you. Either of those things. Man, you come, say, Pastor Chris, this is what I need to do. Well, let's just take just a couple moments and respond to Him. I'm going to pray and then you come. Jesus, you move among us and help us to have boldness to do as you've called us to do. I pray in Jesus' name. You move and be obedient to Him however He leads you.
My heart rejoices, oh my heart.
life has given meaning, our hope is found, and love abounds in you. In you, every heart can find its healing in you. Every life has given meaning, our hope is found. Love abounds in you.
Well, amen. Well, again, thank you so much for being here. I'm going to ask some of our men, they're going to begin to take the place so we can help take up the offering as we leave today. Hey, I'm going to invite those guys that were baptized. If you'll come join me, where are you guys at? There's some of me. Come on, Deuce. Yeah. Nikalin. Yeah, Deuce trying to hide like I ain't gonna see you, bro. Tony. Hey, just want to say thank you so much for your faithfulness to give. I want these guys up here so that you can come by and just congratulate them and encourage them. And hey, I just want you to know, because of your faithfulness to give, we have and just all sorts of ministries, things that are going on. And because you're faithful to give, and we're able to make impact on our college campus, and just grateful for just all that the Lord is doing there and the open doors that He has given us to be there and be a part and try to be a source of encouragement to all the campus and just trying to be a witness and just be praying for those in our community. So let's stand together. Thank you so much for being here, and before you leave, come by and shake these guys' hands, tell them you're proud of them, thank God for them, so let me pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed, all right? God, you're good and gracious and kind. Thank you so much for all that you are and all that you do. Lord, I pray that your hand of blessing will be upon your church. God, help us to give in a way that brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for these men. I pray that you'd use them all the days of their life. God, you would do things in them that they'd never dreamed of. And God, thank you so much for your grace and mercy. Help us to go be a witness for you. And I pray we would help influence others that they may come to know you. We love you and praise you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh.